Let's go to God's Word. Amen? See how we're doing. Man, I don't think I've gotten over the time change yet. When you wake up in the morning, it is flat out dark. Unless you got up in the dark before, now you're fine. But us people that waited till the light came up a little bit in the morning, we're shot. How many are like me? You're like, well, come on, man. What's happening? Come on. The rest of you must be farmers or something. I don't understand you people. Come on. Let's go to God's Word. And won't you hear with me? Come on. How many were here last week when I, without apology, called you a pig? Yes, yes. You took it like a man or a woman. I was at my office this week, and I guess there was a knock on the door. I didn't know it. I was in a little meeting, and somebody dropped off a little bag, a little gift for me. I had a card. I thought it was going to be hate mail or something. I never get hate mail, by the way. So if you do that, you're like just alone, okay? But no. And got a little card and opened a bag, and there was a pink little pig. Aw, look at that. And just a sweet letter said how much she enjoyed the message and went out and bought me a special little pig. I thought, well, look at that. Look at that. How many people actually call people pigs and get gifts for it? So that was in the morning. That was like, what morning was that? That was Tuesday morning of this past week. Yeah. And then I had counseling luncheon with somebody. And I'm sitting there, man, I'm there for 2 hours probably at this restaurant just counseling and talking and trying to be a blessing and help some. It's what I do. I do my best work over food, I'm telling you. So I get done, almost done, and somebody walks over to my table. It looks like a placemat or something. Those paper placemats said folded in half, had my name on the outside, Pastor Gary. So I open it up, and it said, "We're pigs. Saved by the grace of God." And it said at the bottom, "And by the way, we bought your lunch." I'm like, what? I gotta be nasty more often. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I mean, who gets a pig and then gets a free lunch for being so ugly? Amen. Come on. It just goes to show you can say about anything if you do it right. Amen. Let's go with a little bit of encouragement today. Are you ready? Come on, let's go with some encouragement. How in the world can we celebrate Christ and His coming and His giving His life on a cross and raising from the dead, and somehow we still think it was us that did it? It's our good works that makes it happen or something. To me, I just don't know how you can do that. You hear me, yes or no? I'm not saying you haven't been taught that, because we teach a lot of stuff, guys. But grace is 100% God and is 0% me. Say that out loud. Grace is 100% and is 0%. I don't know about you, but Bill, I'm like Paul. There's days that I want to do right and I don't. There's things I know that are good to do, and I don't do them. There are things that are wrong to do, and I do them. I don't want my salvation left up to me. What if it's a bad day, and I die? Well, you go to hell that day. Come on, man. You hear me or not? Say, I want to let's just think that through. Amazing grace. Amen. And that's our message today, a little series. Let's go with it, Raj. We're pushing now, buddy. Amen. Amazing Grace is the series, and we're going to move forward today. Here's a title for you, Grace Story. Or you've heard of history? Grace Story. Grace Story. Say that with me. Grace Story. One more time. Grace Story. See, that's the history of my salvation. It's Grace Story. It's not a Gary story. It's a Grace Story. Being saved as a hellraiser in Rockingham and my drunk mama coming to Christ was not a Gary story or an Ann Clark Riley story. It's a grace story. Now, we're part of that story because it happened to us. Amen. But just because God saves you doesn't mean you take over now. You made it happen now. It's crazy. Let's talk about that today. Grace story. Say that again. Grace history. You know history, right? H-I-S, his story, okay? Okay? But this is grace story, and quite frankly, grace story is his story. It's my story for what? His glory. If you ever are making it about you, well, I do this and I do that, and I don't do this and I don't do that, guys, then your story is your story, but it's not his story. Grace story is his story in your life. Let's check it out. Let's see what we can find. We're going to push it. See what we can find, Raj. Here we go. I'm awake now, buddy. Come on. Here we go. Here we go. Would you say this out loud? I've been having you say stuff with me on this series because I don't know. I worry about people. I worry about people not being solid. And, you know, you wonder why you don't love the Lord. Why do other people seem to love the Lord? And why do some people have a relationship closer to the Lord? Man, when you start to appreciate His grace, it'll open up love for you. Amen? It'll open up how much God loves you and how you can love Him. Say this out loud. God's grace cannot act where there are claims of my own goodness and my own abilities. God's grace cannot act under those circumstances. Okay? The problem with religion, I think you heard me be ugly last week. I figure I'll give you a little more. The problem with religion is it doesn't have enough letters. Religion doesn't have enough letters. See, religion says do. Do, see? And then it says this. It's do and then what? Do some more. I'm from the country. You know what that is, don't you? Plain English? Do, do. Yeah. Now, I didn't put that picture up there. Roger did that. I almost called you ahead and take that down, but I thought I'll just blame it on you. Amen. Matter of fact, that's biblical. That Paul even calls it that. Paul the apostle calls his works and things other than grace, he calls it D-U-N-G, dung. And that's plain English, guys. Grace is not you doing and then you doing and you doing some more. Well, then how do things get done if I don't do? Well, you do and we work and we serve, but we give Him the glory and the credit and we don't make it about us. And this is how we get into heaven. Got it? Yes or no? This is how we go measure up to God because now we're doing stuff for Him. Did y'all hear me or not? Say. But the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, it says what? What does it say? Done. Done. Often I have people come and talk with me. And I don't mind. I don't mind. I don't mind being challenged. It's fine. I don't mind. Now, if you're going to be ugly and get angry and want to punch me, well, I'll punch you right back in the face. Because I struggle still, okay? No, I'm not going to do that anyway. That's not the plan. But anyway, the point is, listen, I don't expect everybody to understand this. Because we've been taught that I must do something to get something. We're taught that since we're a little child. This is how you go to school and you study and you you work hard and you get a good grade and you get an A. And that's true. And, you learn a trade and you get good at it. And that's okay. It just doesn't work that way with grace. God had to do this. He had to Himself come and be born as a man and die on a cross for our sins because we couldn't do it. And you still can't do it. Got it? Say. So it never was about us doing. It was about His doing. So it is done. Keep going, buddy. Push me now. So done, done, done. It's done because of Him. That's what it is, baby. That's what it is. Look at the scriptures. But by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Say it with me. Once for all. And now every priest, now he stands daily ministering. He offers oftentimes the same sacrifices over and over and over and over again. Say it with me. Which can never do what? Could never take away our sins. Are you kidding me? You think Gary Clark can take away your sins? Oh, that's horrible. Doesn't matter what I do. I can't do that, but I can do this. I can preach the word. I can tell you about Christ. I can tell you that you're loved. I can tell you He died on a cross. He rose from the grave. If you put your trust in Him, you'll have everlasting life. I can tell you that. But I can't do that. He did that. But look at verse 12. Say it out loud, but pretty loud on the first three words. Say it out loud. But this man, his name is Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, say it with me, he sat down where? At the right hand of God. Okay, so he did it, you didn't. He did it, I didn't. Grace, 100% God, 0% me. And we're going somewhere. To know the gospel, the good news of the amazing grace of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, done, and to turn and teach the gospel of works, do. So you go from done, so I'm saved by grace, He did it all, but for me to go from grace now, done, to teach the gospel of works, that's what? Do. It's a shame and a disgrace to Almighty God. I don't care how good it makes you feel. And there's whole religions that teach if you sin after you're saved, you'll go to hell. How many know that? How many know there's folks that teach you that in the church? And some will teach you that, well, you know, not a little sin. It's got to be a lot. Amen. Because, see, you got to cover your tail. Because we all sin some, don't we? Yeah. Oh, you're good. It's in bad people. Who made you scorekeeper? But that's the whole point. When you start doing this, you actually become God. And that is a bad thing to become. You hear me or not? Say, hey, you think God's going to look at you? He looks down at you and you think you Him. How's that going to fly? It ain't going to fly, my friend. Not going to work. So it's a disgrace. You can call it what you want, but works religion, it stinks in the nostrils of a holy God. How in the world can we go and celebrate Passion Week and Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning and all that if it's somehow we did it? Y'all hear me? It just don't fly, man. Don't make good sense. Okay, so it stinks to God. You might say, Gary, where does it say that in the Bible? I'm so glad you're asking me these questions. It's fantastic. Peter says it this way. Now, Peter was a hard nut to crack. Peter was a sinner. I think when you look at the Bible in the New Testament, most men, we can relate to Peter. He cussed, won't write. He cut a guy's ear off with his fillet knife, won't write. Got it? And that's just what's written down. Wonder how many people he busted in the mouth. He was a bad joker. But you know what? Jesus said, you're a rock, man. And he made him the leader. Isn't that true? Yes or no? But what do we do with Peter? We make him the Pope. See what we do? We take a sinner man and look at works and then we turn him in. Now you the Pope. He won't the Pope. His name was Peter. Here's what Peter said in his epistle about you that know the grace of God and you turn it into works. Well, you're wells without water. You're a cloud that's carried with a tempest to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise liberty, this work stuff, promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought back into bondage. Man, grace makes you free. If the Son therefore sets you free, you're what? You're free indeed. If a man will have you do works and you can work your way to heaven, you're what? You're in bondage, baby. For if after you've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge, you know this Jesus out here. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead for you, and he loves you. It was him, not you. For if after you've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse than the beginning. It is really hard for religious people to be saved. It is, guys. I mean, if you've lived your life and you've kept the list and you've done the rules and you got a guy like me, Gary Clark, calling you a sinner and you need Christ, well, look at me. I believe. But you got it all mixed up with works and mingled together with works. You got to get the works out of there, man. Y'all hear me or not? Is this plain English or two up here for us? Hope you understand that. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. For us to know to do good and we don't do it, it's sin. For us to know that it was all Jesus and somehow we convoluted it with our good works. It would have been better if you hadn't even known it. After that, they knew it. They turned away from the holy command. Turned away that it was 100% God and 0% me. But it happened unto them according to a true proverb. The dog is turned back to his own vomit. And here's our word last week. And the what? Pig that was washed. Poor little pig. Back to wallowing in the mud. It's all grace. Our story is a grace story. It's gracetory. You hear me or not? Let's keep going. We're not done. We're halfway home. Come on. My story for his glory. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's keep going. Here we go. We got something we're going to say. Grace story. That's how a slave trader, slave owner, slave trader, a very evil, wicked man, these are what he would tell you about himself. The man who wrote that song, John Newton, his life became a grace story. It wasn't about the works that he had done in the past that were evil or about the works he was going to do in the future that was good. It was about what God did for him, a sinner, and how he saved him. Well, Mr. Newton, where did you get that song from? Was there a passage of Scripture that you wrote that song from? And he would say to you, oh, yeah. I was reading one day, he would say, in the book of John. And it helped me write that song. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this right here. It ain't hard. Just keep in mind, grace story. As we're giving these scriptures, I want you to think, what did this man in this story do? Or was it Jesus that did it? Are you ready or not? John 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, well, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They were so screwed up. Did you know the church, we're like that. We see somebody that's struggling, got some problems in their life, and we're so quick to just judge and do this. We're horrible instead of trying to help. You hear me or not? Have you ever thought about people's lives screwed up? They're perfect opportunities for the grace of God. A person whose life looks like it's off the rails, it's an opportunity for that person to be a trophy of God's grace one day. Jesus said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That's what God wants to do in all of our lives. You hear me or not? Well, I'm too bad. I can't be saved. God wants to save you. He wants you to be a person that knows Christ. He wants you to be a person that loves the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. He believes you can do it because of Him. Amen. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And when He had thus spoken to His disciples, He spit on the ground. Jesus did. Spit on the ground. And then He made clay or mud. Can you say mud? Mud! It's what you do with spit and dirt. Mud. And He made mud. And He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the mud. Put mud on his eyeballs. Bam! What? And He said to him, go wash in that pool of Siloam. Which I've been there too. Remember, places in the Bible are real places. They're not made up. Which is by interpretation. So the blind man went his way therefore, and he did what? Wash the mess out of his eyes. That would be sort of funny, wouldn't it? And he came forth what? Does that sound like Jesus was gracious to him? For no reason, really? Did the guy work for it? Did the guy ask for it? Jesus just did it. Remember that as you celebrate Passion Week and Good Friday and the cross. Just remember, Jesus just did it. You didn't ask for squat. I want to just say it this way. Keep your mouth shut. We didn't ask for anything. Amen or oh me. Jesus took mud and He turned it into a what? How many would say, that's the story of my life. Jesus took mud and turned it into a miracle. God said, He took mud, baby, turned it into a miracle. But see, that's the problem. We get away from thinking that we're just dirt. That's who we were made from, just dirt. And we all of a sudden, we dress it up, make it up, pretty it up, and all of a sudden, Jesus took all this and turned it into this. No, He took mud and made a miracle out of it. And that's what He did here. Keep looking. Now, this is what I want you to see. Grace story. This is very important from here on in. Why are you pushing this grace stuff on me? Because this is how you're going to win your world to Christ. Not everybody is as good as you. Not everybody is where you are at right now. Everybody needs to know Jesus loves me too. So if we don't screw up our story, man, and make it about us, but make it about Him, then they can see Him. So Roger put us some little figures up. So the neighbors, therefore, which before had seen him that was blind, said, ain't this he that used to sit around here and beg? That's what the neighbors said. And then some said, say it with me. So man, because of the mud that happened in his eyes and made his life a miracle, his neighbors started talking. And then some other folks started saying stuff. Other people. Others said, he is what? He'd like him. So the neighbor said, ain't that him? And others said, I believe it could be him. When your life, when you keep grace active in your life, don't be surprised at the people that's going to talk about you and look at your life in a good way, in a good way. But you start judging them, making it about you, you better than them. They not going to want nothing to do with you or Jesus. Am I clear on that? What happened? So, some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said what? I'm he. That's plenty good right there. You could stop right there without all your good works. Why don't you just tell people, you're the person that Jesus saved. I meet people a lot of times, and they start off with a pedigree. I'm a preacher, so they want to tell me what they've been doing. And I get it. But I'm going to tell you what, man. I would really rather hear what Jesus did in your life. Tell me about the real you. Amen. I mean, some of our lives are pretty wretched. Yes or no? How many would raise their hand? Some of our lives are pretty wretched in here. It's a grace story, baby. Nobody can say it better than you what it is that God has done for you. That's the beautiful of grace story. It's my story of grace. Doing good, Raj. Come on. They said, how? Therefore said they unto him, how were your eyes opened? He said, this is a clue about grace. Let's check it out. He answered and said, a man that's called who? Made mud and put it on my eyes. He said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Say it with me. I what? Went and I what? And I what? Sound like he just did what Jesus said do. It don't sound like he did nothing. All it sounds like to me is he was blind. He don't even know what's happening. All he knows is somebody done put mud on his eyeballs. And now he's got this gook all over him. And Jesus told him to go wash. He washed and he saw. Is that pretty much what happened? Say that out loud. Tell it like it. And tell it like it. One more time. Tell it like it. And tell it like it. It was Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. It won't you doing whatever. Amen? So they brought to the Pharisees him that was blind. Because they were the religious muckety-mucks. They run the show. And it was on the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay. And I ain't got all day, but did you know what? You couldn't even spit on the ground and make clay on the Sabbath day because you use that water and that dirt to make mortar for bricks and things like that. This is how particular the Pharisees were to the law. Do you see, if you're not careful, what good works, though good works are good, how good works can screw your life up? Oh. So the Pharisees, there they are, little stick figures in robes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him, how did you receive your sight? Well, let's see if he, now he's in the religious crowd, let's see if he starts to take credit. He said unto them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and now I see. Isn't it funny, though, how we get around church people and we sort of change our story a little bit? We're better on Sunday than we are on Saturday night. It's a good story. Nobody can say it better than you what it is that God has done for you. Your life is a grace story. But now wait a minute. They investigated. They who? The religious. But the Jews didn't believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents. And so they called the parents of him that had received the sight. And they asked them, his parents, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know it is. He's our son. And he was born blind. But by what means he now sees? We don't know. Or who opened his eyes? We don't know. He's of age. Ask him. Because he can do what? Be for himself. Why did they say that? Why did his parents say that? Because the Pharisees, the religious people, had intimidated the people about Jesus. And guys, that's what we do in church so often. We intimidate people. We make them feel like crap. That's what good works will do many times. And we're better than folk. Man, your grace story is what you need to be telling. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man confessed that he was the Christ, they would be put out of the synagogue, kicked out of the church. How many were in a church where they actually kicked out people? Can I see some hands? Don't lie to me. One more time, put your hands up. If you're in a church where they actually kicked out people, that ain't this church. There's 12 doors out of here. You can pick one of them and just leave. I want people coming in, not kicking people out. Come on, praise the Lord. We want them coming in. Come on. This is a good message. Whether you like it or not, just keep telling yourself you like it. Here we go. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. That's why they didn't say it. Keep going. It's not that his parents didn't know he could see anymore. They were just intimidated. So they interrogated. The church will do that too. Oh, yeah. Then again called they the man that was blind, called him back. Can you imagine having to stand before this crowd, these people looking down on you? You're in a court of law, basically. Give God the praise, because we know this man is a sinner. Well, they knew Jesus was a sinner because he didn't do it their way. And guys, I think a lot of times that's what we do. We look at people that don't do it our way. They look different than us. They might smell different than us. They might have a whole different lifestyle going on. We're not talking right and wrong here. We're talking about saved or lost. Can we let people maybe work on getting right once they get saved? Say. But how are they going to get saved unless they hear about Jesus, not hear about you? So what did blind man do? He what? He reiterated. He answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. Say that last part with me. Wait. 1 second. Thank you, though. John Newton, this is where he got his song from. This is where he got Amazing Grace from. Say it with me. Okay. Whether he was a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, say it with me, that whereas I was, now I. That should be your grace story. I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind and now I see. I was going to hell and now I ain't. I'm going up, I ain't going down. Got it? And it's all because of who? That's the way we need to do it. Nobody can say it better than you what God has done for you. We're done, I believe, almost, Raj. Come on. You're doing good. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead us home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Say this out loud with me. You're not going to be singing how great I am when you get to heaven. You're going to be singing. Would you stand up with me? We're almost done with the church. We're almost done. I want you to practice like you in heaven. Here we go. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Now let's thank Him for His Word. Come on, let's thank Him for His Word. Good word today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on.